the book of Acts. We're going to read a few different passages this morning. We're going to focus our attention on a couple in the Bible, husband and wife couple. There's several reasons I believe the Lord wants us to deal with this morning, and it don't have a thing to do with Valentine's Day, but there has been somewhat of a focus on that over the last couple days or so. But I'm interested in what the Bible says. And I'm interested in the couple that's named Aquila and Priscilla. How many's heard of them? They weren't preacher. He wasn't a preacher. We don't know what positions they held. We know that he was a tent maker. We'll read that in a moment. And so was the Apostle Paul, and they worked together some. We can look at their life, and they were very important. In fact, Rogersville Baptist Temple owes Priscilla and Aquila some thanks. I know we have said it over the years, and it is biblically right that the Apostle Paul was the apostle that brought the gospel to the Gentile world. And so all of us in here that are Gentiles, saved Gentiles, you know, if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. That's the only options you have. If you're saved, you're neither. You become the church of God then, according to the Scripture. But we could say, thank you, Paul, for bringing the gospel to the Gentile world. I'm saved because somebody heard you preach, somebody got saved, and then they told it, and somebody got saved, and that on down the line to the point that I got saved, hearing the gospel that Paul brought to the Gentile world on 39 years ago, January 20th. But I think we're going to have to give some credit to Aquila and Priscilla. I want to just read these verses, and I'm reading them for the purpose so that you can just see the setting and some of the things said about this couple. Acts chapter 18, I don't know if I told you what passage to turn to. Acts chapter number 18. Look, if you will, in verse number 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. There's your proof text that Paul was also a tent maker. And so was Aquila. Of course, this is not going to be something that I'm going to bring out for his preach on it, but it's evident here that Aquila was a worker. He was somebody that wasn't lazy. He was somebody that was busy. Amen. And so that's a good thing to be in our day, don't you think so? Amen. And so look at it again. The Bible said there, identifying Aquila and Priscilla in verse number 2 as being Jews. Look down, if you will, in the same chapter, verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchreae, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Paul now is continuing on, but he's leaving Aquila and Priscilla at Ephesus. That shows me there that they were a couple, they were a married couple of responsibility, that Paul could leave them at Ephesus with no doubt responsibilities, things that he had left them there to attend to. And again, we have no indication that Aquila was even a preacher. Amen. And a lot of times there's a lot of emphasis placed on the preacher. And I'm not minimizing how important it is to have an anointed, God-called man of God. I can't emphasize the importance of that. But if that's all the church has, then that church is going to be weak, and that church is not going to be accomplishing a great deal, because there's going to be a lot of things that needs attending to that the preacher doesn't have time to deal with. And that's when the Aquila and Priscilla Christians comes into play, and we'll say more about that in a little bit. So here he leaves them at Ephesus in verse number 19. Again in the same chapter, verse 26, we find a third time that their names are mentioned. Let's read starting in verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures. Notice the description now is given of Apollos here. The Bible said there that he was an eloquent man, and he was mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Okay, who was left at Ephesus? Aquila and Priscilla's left at Ephesus. Paul has went on to somewhere else, but he'd left them there. And so they're having a meeting. Somebody's having a meeting, or Apollos just comes and is preaching, but he's preaching. Look at verse 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Note that last statement right there. That says right there that Apollos was a great man, but he didn't know it all. He was a great preacher, but he still needed some teaching and some instruction. So you can't preach what you don't know and teach what you don't know and live what you don't know. And you'll never live to be an old person, old enough to where you don't need to be taught still yet. We still need to be reminded of things that we already know. Plus, we need to understand that we don't know it all. Nobody in this service knows everything. I hated to pop your bubble right there. I hated to disappoint you. I saw some husbands elbow their wife like, "See, I told you, you don't know it all." But it says here and shows here by that last statement, knowing only the baptism of John, that he was needing some instruction. All right, look in verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, that shows right there that they knew how to deal with people. They pulled him aside. They didn't embarrass him. They didn't confront him publicly. They called him aside and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And so we see there again the ministry of this spiritual couple. All right, let's turn, if you will, to another place, Romans 16, Acts, and then you got the next book is the book of Romans, chapter 16. I like to hear those Bible pages turning. Amen. Romans chapter 16, we know this is a chapter where Paul is identifying a lot of individual people and giving them commendations and saluting them and so forth. And we find here in chapter 16, verse number 3, he's already started his commendation, starting with Phoebe there in verse 1 and so on and so forth. And he comes to verse 3 and he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers." How much weight is in those two words? Paul, the Apostle Paul, said they were my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at the next thing said about Aquila and Priscilla, verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks. Here's where I said earlier that even you and I can give a little credit to Aquila and Priscilla, this next statement. Not only am I thanking you, Priscilla and Aquila, because you have laid down your necks for my sake, and I'm giving you thanks for that, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, why would that statement be in there if they didn't have something to do with the passing on and the furtherance of the gospel to the Gentile world? Amen. They were instrumental in starting some churches. Priscilla and Aquila, they weren't preachers, far we know. He wasn't a preacher. We don't know if she ever sung a song, but they were a part of starting churches. Priscilla and Aquila. And look at verse 5, another statement made about Priscilla and Aquila of Romans 16, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Do you see that? We know of at least two different accounts where it shows that Priscilla and Aquila had a church in their house. One was at Ephesus and one was at Rome. All right, let's look on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Again, Paul closing this book with several mentions of names and individuals. And here he just got through dealing with the house of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus in verse 17. Comes to verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. Here's some more churches saluting you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. What about that? Starting to sound more like important people. Most people probably lived their whole life and never heard of Priscilla and Aquila and probably never heard anything preached about them. All right, let's look on. Let's look at one more passage, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm reading all of these, not in any particular sequence, because I just want you to just see some of the things said about this couple. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last chapter of the book. All right, he's given some mentions of some names, some of them in a negative light, such as Demas, verse 10, having forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. He's given some positive mentions. But he comes down to verse 19, and he said, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. So there again, there is a mention from the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pin down a respectful closing of a book by mentioning Priscilla and Aquila's name. Of course, it's called here Prisca. And so what can we learn from this? I want to preach on the subject tonight, this morning, side-by-side service. Side-by-side spirituality. Here's Priscilla and Aquila. How many noticed as we read all of those six different passages that Priscilla was never mentioned by herself? How many of us noticed in all six of those passages that Aquila was never mentioned by himself? Every time you saw one, you saw the other. Amen. They were co-laborers. They were a couple that worked and labored and served together. And there's a lot to be said about that, and we'll point some of those things out in just a moment. But needless for me to say to this congregation this morning that there is an all-out attack upon marriage in our day. There's a political attack against marriage, the LGBTQLYZMOUSE, all of that mess is attacking the marriage. People that embrace biblical traditional marriage as the Bible presents it. Amen. Marriage was God's idea. God was the one that created the first man, and he created the first woman, and he performed the wedding between Adam and Eve. It was not Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. Who would have ever thought, and I don't want to get sidetracked here, but who would have ever thought that we would live in the land of America to see that somebody is interested in running for the highest office in our land and they are open sodomites? And there'll be people that, there'll be church people around this country that'll vote for that, whatever his name is. Are y'all listening? Who would have ever thought that any party in the political world would even tolerate a candidate for the highest office in the land that was an open sodomite? Do you think possibly? Well, I'm getting sidetracked. Help me, Lord. I get close to that, I got to bump it. I got to hit it, stomp on it. I'm telling. Who would... The president, if that person were to become president, they are also our, the chief commander-in-chief. Could you see a sodomite limp-wristed, can't even walk, dressed up in his little skinny jeans, dealing with terrorists? Now, don't you do that. I won't get off that. I'm getting my blood pressure. I feel my blood pressure going up. But the family, the home, marriages is under attack. And I'm preaching this today, not just dealing with us that are married, but I think there is things that could be said to these in here, and we have several that are not married. Amen. How interested, let me just preach to them a minute. How interested are you in having a mate that will you and that person being able to serve God together? Be side by side servants, side by side spouses, side by side joining of hearts and labor and effort and direction and purpose to serve God. In my 39 years of preaching, I have seen many young people that had opportunity to go in the right direction, and some have been in this church. Over the course of our existence here in 27 years, they've had opportunity. They've heard the same preaching that these young people have. They've heard the same truths and all of that. But somewhere along the way, they turned their way away from God and started entertaining carnal ideas and the ideology of the world. And next thing you know, their life is a wreck. Are you listening? I'm telling you, it hurts me to see blown potential. It hurts me when I see, you know, this person right here. I remember when we had them at camp and we took them to Light on the Mountain and we took them to Galilee or whatever, and you know, and preached to them here, and they've been in our youth group, and now they're lesbians. Are y'all listening? I told my wife last night, I said, so-and-so, and mentioned their name, that no longer comes, they're in another state even, live in another state. I said, look. And I thought, they used to sit right here. And then I thought about these young people that are still here, that's purpose in their heart. They're wanting to go in the right direction. You know the difference between that one I just mentioned and those of you? They made a choice to go in the wrong direction. They made a choice to not be interested in preaching and listening to the Word of God and listening to parental guidance. Amen. Are you listening to that? Amen. It matters. A lot matters and hangs and weighs and hinges on your choices. You can be here bodily, but you can be on your way to the far country inwardly. The home is under attack. Marriage is under attack. Young people, they've somehow or another in our day, they've lost focus of what's right and wrong concerning marriage. Are y'all listening to the preacher? They don't have no idea. They certainly are not getting it taught to them in the schoolhouse, in most cases. They're not getting it taught to them, sadly, from parents either. Children being raised up now, a lot of times they're in broken homes. And I don't have time to deal with it, but you can look it up yourself at the statistics, the crime statistics that's associated with young people, adolescents, that is raised up in broken homes, single parent homes. Amen. The suicidal statistics of young people, a lot of the times, not all the time, but a lot of times is associated with being raised in a broken, messed up home. If you're being raised or was raised in a home that's not busted up and broken, you ought to thank God. You ought to thank the Lord for that. You ought to thank the Lord you know where your mama is and you know where your daddy is. And it's not that way every case. There's some even here this morning, and I would never embarrass you and I would never shame you at all, but there's some kids in this service that are having to deal with broken homes and not knowing from one move to the next where they're going to wind up. And that breaks my heart, I'll just tell you. I mean it. It breaks my heart. I told somebody the other day, I said, I wish there's some way we could start a children's home. Just to try to help out with some of those. Amen. But we want the young people to know that you don't wait till the ring is on the finger and you said, I do, to start figuring out, oh, I think I want to serve the Lord now. You better start thinking of all of that before the proposal, before you answer the proposal with a yes. You better look at their life. You better check them out. Ask them questions. Ask them hundreds of questions. Ask their pastor about them. Ask their parents about them. Ask them about what is in your heart concerning the will of God. What if we were to get married? A girl, in fact, if a girl gets married and she says to her future husband, we get married, how are you planning to lead our home? What place is the Bible going to have in our home? What place is the church, going to church and serving in the church and what place is that going to have in our home? Amen. You talking about a train wreck. It's when you get married and leave God out. When you get married and you're not interested in having a mate or spouse that's interested in being in a joint with you. And can I say to you young people that's not married, if you've got a heart for the Lord, and that is a sign of you being saved, if you've got a heart for the Lord, don't ever put that on the auction block. Don't ever put that up for sale. Don't ever put that up for bids. If you're wanting to serve God and you want to live for God and you want to have children and raise them for the glory of God and grow old with somebody that loves the Lord, you need to find out a lot of that before you ever even entertain the thoughts of that person. You can't, well, I'll win them. We'll figure it out after we get started. That's true of a lot of things, but spiritually that's not true. Amen. You better know. You better have some a good foundation under you before. Listen. I want you to know. We've got several in our church that has went through the divorce court, and they know that I'm not preaching down on them. Listen, they know that I love them, but I can't avoid that subject. I can't avoid that subject for the sake of these that are not married. I need to let them know that there is a Priscilla and Aquila potential. There is that possibility of marrying and serving God together. Amen. All right, let me give you some things here. Lord, help me. Side by side service, two being yoked together, partnering, pulling and plowing together with the same purpose, in the same field, going in the same direction, sharing common obedience, sharing common submission, common direction, common purpose. Amen. Now listen, I've been in this thing long enough that I could take up some of my time this morning, and I could give you cases that I know firsthand where that there was one wanting to serve God and the other one didn't want to serve God. I've had cases, listen, over the years, I've had cases to where, I mean, I was involved as far as the counseling, trying to help them, trying to help their home, their marriage stay together. And it wasn't one wanting to serve God and the other absolutely wasn't wanting to serve God. It was another scenario. It was one that was wanting to go all the way with God and the other one just wanted to go part of the way with God. Are you listening? The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Here at this church, we know for a fact that there's been missionaries that have come off the field because of one of the spouses saying, I don't want to live this no more. I don't want to do this no more. Are you listening? One of the best ones we ever supported, and I went on the field and preached a meeting there in their work that they had started. And I was around them all that. I never seen it. I never seen that in her at all. I ate in their house. I never saw it. But he came in one day, not long after that, just a few days, few weeks, few months after that, just short period of time. And he comes in from being out with the work, you know, visiting and paying out, trying to build a work. And she said, I'm done. I don't want to be a missionary. I don't want to be a missionary's wife. I don't want to be a preacher's wife. I am done. What are you going to do in that scenario? Are you listening? That's another case that could be brought up. That's another scenario that could be brought up. And that one you can't really figure out before you get married. That's when people changes after they get married. That's when their heart was genuine. When you went to the altar, their heart was genuine and wanted to serve God, and they were submitted and surrendered to the Lord. But then materialism gets in their mind, and finances gets bigger than their faith. And next thing you know, their spiritual life is almost non-existent. And now they went from spiritual to carnal, and carnality has crucified many marriages and many ministries and many homes. And then they change. They change. What do you do with that? It's not just being what you need to be at the marriage altar. And I think that's important. I think that you need, listen, can I preach to the young people just a minute? You need to have your own set of principles, expectations, requirements that's yours, that you are not ever for nobody ever going to compromise. I don't care who they are. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how much money they make. I don't care what they drive. I don't care who their daddy is. I don't care. I'm not violating these principles that God has put in my heart back when I could think clearly. You know, sometimes when love gets in the picture, it brings a fog into the brain sometimes. I'm talking about young people before romance clouds the picture. You need to think clearly, all right? Biblically, what do I want in a young man, you girls? What do I want in a young man? What are some things that are, without question, never debatable? Never debatable. You need to have some. Well, I don't have some. You know what that means? If you don't have some ideas, that means that somebody can impress you, somebody can influence you, and you will change. And you, amen. You need to be persuaded in your own mind what you're going to be, what you want, and amen. And don't ever compromise that. Amen. I got challenged on that, and I've told that here, and I'm not going to go in all the details of that because that was many years ago. But this particular girl that I thought I have got to have, beware of that. I got to have. You better watch out right there, friend, because the hook's already in you. And I'd already been saved and been preaching a good long while, and I had standards in my life that I still have today. I just want to throw that in. And I finally kept on aggravating her. I guess that's what I was doing. I was going to take her out for lunch one day. So I went by to pick her up. She consented, believe it or not. And I went by to pick her up, and I'm telling you, I know it was all over my countenance. The way she was dressed is completely against the convictions that I have. I about fell on the floor. And I walked up, got close enough to talk to her, and she said, "How I'm dressed is bothering you." I said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." But just out of courtesy, we went ahead and ate lunch. I took her back. Never talked to her again after that, to this day. Never seen her before or since. That's just some things that I was not willing to compromise. Oh, did I want that girl? Did I think that would be the one for me? And all those kinds of things. It's amazing how you can think several is the one. It's amazing, isn't it? So, young people, you better be cautious. Thinking, oh, I found her. I found him. Oh, it's the Lord's will. Well, that's probably what you said about the last one. And that may be what you say about this one until the next one comes along that looks a little better. Are you listening? I thought it was the will of God more than once. More than once. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And it proved out to be not the will of God. And I thought it was. You better listen. Woo! We're having a good time with Priscilla and Aquila this morning. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to get off that. That's not what I really wanted to make the whole message, but there's some things that, listen, you're not going to have that Priscilla and Aquila or Aquila and Priscilla direct marriage and side-by-side service, you're not going to have that if you don't know who you are and what you want and your commitments with the Lord. You got to know that. Do you know what your convictions are? Could you write them down? What would you do in that last case I just gave? That boy that you girls right here. You got your eyes set on this boy, you know, young man, and of course you're old enough, 35 or 40, you know, and you're interested, and you've been raised at RBT, and you've heard Preacher Rackley preach, and you've been you know about the Bible truth of concerning separation and modesty and godliness and all that kind of thing, and then all of a sudden that one that you had all this dreams and visions to get, all of a sudden you're aware of the fact that they live contrary to several important factors in your life. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? Are you going to cave? Are you going to cave in and say, well, you know, maybe I just got caught up in the moment of Preacher Ackley's persuasiveness. And you know, maybe I went to the altar and maybe it wasn't the Holy Ghost. Maybe it was just, you know, I'm at RBT and the youth group and the youth choir and RBT camp. And, you know, maybe I just was kind of talked into all this. And you're compromising in your mind. You're trying to excuse and open the door and have a way of getting this dream sickle that you're wanting. But if you have to compromise to get them, guess what you're going to have to do to keep them? That's right. That's right. And you got to live with yourself. There was another one. I don't want y'all to think I was a woman, man, but there was another one that I really inspired. It was a preacher's daughter. My wife knows all these. And I thought, man, this is, boy, she can sing. Lord, have mercy, she can sing. Played a piano. I mean, had a voice. It was unbelievable. And I thought, man, that's the one I need. This is the one I need, you know. So I commenced my pursuit. And she was constantly putting me down. My clothes was never good enough. That's out of date. Just constantly. We went to the mall, just walked through the mall. She was pointing out clothes. You need to buy some of that. That's what you need to wear right there. Just constantly putting me down. It got to the place to where that one that I thought, man, that's the one I want. I couldn't hardly stand to be around her. And it escalated to the point, Miss Candy, that I dropped the axe. Whoo! I said, I can't handle it. Because I seen that I was going to have to compromise. I was going to have to sell out my happiness. That's me. God made me to be me. And my me is not wearing all of that designer mess that she wanted me to wear. And the latest and the finest and the fanciest. I just plain Jane. That's me right there. Just plain Jane, and I was dressed decent and nice and clean, and I didn't stink and all that, but it didn't have the embroidering on the hip pockets, you know. It just didn't, it wasn't, and she was embarrassed to be around. You ask me if I'm glad I made the call to drop that. Can you imagine, Brother Scott, if I'd have went ahead and just said, well, this is one I want. I hate the way she makes me feel, and she talks to me worse than a dog and all of this, you know, but I'm willing to be her little pet. I would have been miserable. You young people, I didn't mean for this to stay right here. We may get with Priscilla and Aquila tonight. I don't know, but you young people, you are you. Well, that's deep right there. You'll write that down. I am me. Me is me. God has made you what you are and how you are. And amen. Yeah, I'm your pastor. There are some areas you need to tweak, and there are some areas you probably need to straighten up and tighten up and all that. But you are you. And you marry somebody or whatever that's opposite, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. Isn't that right? So we can learn from Priscilla and Aquila that evidently they were made for each other. And did they ever have their problems? Why, you know they did. He was married, you know he had problems. She was married, you know she had problems. Did they ever fuss, unlike Brother Bill and Miss Sue? Brother Bill, how long y'all been married? Let me see, 54 years? Now, I'm going to ask you before God and the whole country. Have y'all ever had an argument? You've killed me. You killed my illustration. I thought y'all never argue. How do you get by that? You just tell her, go ahead with it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We don't believe that, do we, Brother Ryan? He said she does what I tell her. Yeah, right. None of us husbands in this building or watching across the globe through live stream believes any of that. Brother Henry, you and Miss Vicky, I respect y'all as much as anybody I know. But do y'all ever have any? Oh, yeah. Oh Lord. I thought we was going to have to give Miss Vicky a nitroglycerin tablet right there. Her eyes roll back in her head and like, oh. But look, they're still sitting here in the house of God. Some things you just deal with and you go on. They come, two different people that's been used to living two different lives, amen, and not having to answer to nobody much, and now you're in the same house and you've unpacked your suitcase. And now when you have an argument, what are you going to do? Pack your bags and move? Oh, yeah, that's spiritual. Yeah. Or are you going to work through it and try to, when I said my vows and my wife said her vows at the altar, death do us part. Now that's serious business right there. When I say that, I meant that. Amen. I've never thought about just running off. I've thought about till death do us part. I thought I'd help part. I thought I'd help out the part. And she's been the same way. And you have as well. We all have. But you don't run off. Why? Because God wants us to be a Priscilla and Aquila. God wants us to be servants together, side by side. Hey, you ought to tell your wife and your wife tell your husband, hey, we're side by side. We're supposed to be side by side hooking marriage and ministry together. The marriage is to be given to the purpose of ministry. Priscilla and Aquila was married, but they were both involved in ministry. Well, anyway, there we go. It's been a while since I just preached a little bit to the young people. But you need it. And parents, you ought to say amen, preach. I'm thankful that you care enough about us to preach to our young people. I mean, we're in a day, listen, we're in a day now that what is it? It's one out of two marriages end in divorce. And most time that's within what? The first 2 to 3 years? I mean, just they don't stay together no time. They have their first little spat. They find out that the person they married had a few things they didn't know about. That's why you ought to court them for about 10 years first. I'm just kidding. But you need to at least do so till you know them. And then we're in a day too when the home is under attack. Marriage is the biblical truth of marriage is, and by the way, biblical marriage is very plain in the Scripture. Very clear in the Scripture. There's no teaching in the Bible of a woman and a woman getting married, a man and a man getting married. I read something somebody said on Facebook this past week, and they said that sodomy is no worse than adultery. Now listen, I'm not taking up for adultery, fornication. Sex outside of marriage is sin. I don't care who does it. It's sin. Fornication, adultery, sex before marriage, outside of marriage. Listen, it's wrong. But they're not the same. I'm not taking up for adultery and being, promiscuous. I'm not taking up for that. But it's not the same. God destroyed cities because of sodomy. God rained down fire and brimstone out of heaven, destroyed cities because of that. Listen, perversion without natural affection attracts the judgment of God like nothing else. Read Romans chapter 1 and see if the things said in Romans chapter 1 about being turned over to a reprobate mind, see if that's ever said about somebody that committed adultery. It's not the same. But we're in a day, friend, when that is becoming a major standard in our country. And when we preach against it and stand against it and you tell your children, don't do this, this is not right, you and I are the bad guys. But I don't care what they say. And I'm not just trying to stand behind a pulpit and be bad to the bone. I'm just telling you, I don't care what they say. I am never going to cross that boundary and say it's all right, you know, for live-ins. We're in a day of shack-ups. Listen, shack-up everywhere you look, everywhere you look. Listen, why get married? Who wants to get married in our day? We need to test the waters out for several years, and they just shack up. They just join up and live like they're married, and they're not married. I know that's old-fashioned preaching, and it's more than that. It's Bible preaching, and it's wrong. It's wrong, not in my opinion, but in what the Bible would teach. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I wasn't aiming for Priscilla and Aquila to go down that direction, but it's all right. Amen. But Satan's attack is clearly on the home. There's no getting by that. I thought about this when I studied on this. The devil's first attack on God was directly in heaven. As he attacked God in heaven, you talking about audacity, you talking about being brassy and brazen to attack God in heaven, his own house. Yep. And he tried to attack God directly. And he was thrown out of heaven. We all know the story. We know the truth of it. And reason I'm not get too detailed, because I may be going, God, give me some things. I may preach on that sometime in the future on that. But he attacked God directly, and he was thrown out with all of the fallen angels as well. That was, one-third of the angels of heaven was persuaded by Lucifer, the chief cherub, to believe that he could raise himself up and take over the throne and declare himself to be God and all of that. But he was thrown out of heaven. And where did he come to? He's called the prince and power of the air. Well, when he came, the first time we have, Brother Klepper, an example of the devil on earth is in the Garden of Eden in the form of a serpent. What was he attacking then? He was attacking the home. He was attacking Adam and Eve. The first attack was to God directly, to his face, take over, exalting himself, and all of that. But no, he don't do that now. He don't attack directly. He attacks indirectly. So when he came into the garden, he started attacking the marriage. He started attacking that husband and wife relationship. And amen. And you young people, I'm not trying to scare you off. I'm not trying to change your mind about hopes and dreams about one day getting married and all that stuff. But when you become husband and wife, and I don't know how else to say it, but it's plain, the devil sets his sights on you. And there's married couples in this room that when y'all were dating, everything was hunky-dory. But when you said, I do, and you did, guess what? The devil starts, boom, and he starts chipping away and attacking. That's why you need to base your home on spiritual, scriptural truth. Amen. If it's emotional, if your relationship is just emotional, if your relationship is just physical, if your relationship is just social, count on it. That's a train wreck going to happen. Amen. 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 May the Lord help us today. May the Lord use that and speak to our hearts with it. But the attack now is an indirect attack. So when he's attacking your home, he's actually attacking God. Why was he attacking Adam and Eve? Why didn't he attack the animals? Why didn't he attack any of the other aspects of creation? You know why he attacked Adam and Eve? Is because they were created in the image of God. When the serpent saw Adam and Eve, that there was something about them that reminded him of his chief enemy, God. And so he attacks that. Amen. Now, when the home is not based on a spiritual foundation, it's not built on the rock, Christ Jesus the rock, the devil don't bother them. If your home is a wreck, by the way, here, I'm going to just end with this. I'm out in deep water here. You're either going to be you got these options. Here's your options. You can either have an Aquila and Priscilla marriage. And you ought to have that as your goal. Or you can have an Ananias and Sapphira marriage. Oh, they were married. They worked together. But it was against God. Lied to the Holy Ghost, claiming that all of it was part of it was all of it that they'd given and all that. And you know the story. And they lied to the Holy Ghost and God killed Ananias. And then his wife came in and she said the same thing and God smote her. Said the same man is carrying your husband out. It's getting ready to carry you out. And she fell over and they buried both of them. I don't want that. Young people, you don't want that. Don't marry a sneak. Don't marry a sneaky person that's trying to shortchange God and try, you know, that's trying to hold back, give God a little peace, give God a little this, a little that, but hold back and keep it for yourself. Don't do that. Don't marry somebody like that. Amen. It wouldn't hurt for you, some of you young people, to just write you a, I don't know, not a contract, but something similar. And you ought to just study maybe some of the couples in the Bible and just write down some principles. Amen. And just discuss it. When somebody's interested, say, look, I mean, there's some things that you can cover before you even get to first base. I mean, just simple stuff. Are you saved? No. They need to hear a hung-up signal. As far as your relationship, you can try to win them the Lord, whatever, but they're not a candidate. They're not a candidate. They're not a prospect. You know, where do you go to church? And they name some off-the-wall, generic, loose, liberal mess. Say, out. You're not. Nope. You're out. Amen. Who's your preacher? Do you know my preacher? What do you think about Brother Rackley? You better be able to pucker or run fast. They're either going to kiss you or they're going to kick you. One of the two. Just some simple questions. What kind of Bible do you use? How often do you read your Bible? How often do you pray? Do you tithe? Well, no, back up for that. Do you have a job? Do you work? Do you have a job? Actually, that should be the first question, because it don't matter if they're saved or not. It don't matter if they carry a King James Bible so big you have to roll it around in a wheelbarrow. If they don't have a job, they're out. Amen. I don't want to just see these young people get married. I want to see them stay married. And I want to see them happily married. I want to see them Aquila and Priscilla marriage where that they are side by side. You know, you never saw one without the other. One was never mentioned by themselves. They were always together, always serving. When Paul commended Aquila, he was also mentioning Priscilla. If he and you know, there was sometimes, I don't know if you caught it or not, there was probably about, let's see, five times, I don't even know if I can find that now. I wrote it down, how many times that her name was mentioned first. Instead of Aquila and Priscilla, Aquila, Priscilla. More times than not, there was Priscilla and Aquila. And that didn't mean that she was a leader or nothing like that. But some commentators said that that meant that she had a real noted, respected spirituality, even in the home and among church people. And Paul would address her first, not in any kind of disrespect. Anyway, let's all stand. I'm going to hush right there. I was wanting to deal with, and we may deal with that tonight, I don't know. We'll just see how the Lord leads. But I'd like to deal with that. There's three aspects about Priscilla and Aquila that stood out to me. And we may deal with that tonight. I'm not sure. We'll just see how the Lord wants us to go. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, you know my heart. I didn't aim to get hung up on dealing with the young people that's not married. But they need preaching. They need instruction. They need some guidance. Lord, they need some biblical principles given to them that will help them in their life. Because I certainly cannot choose their mate for them, and they're more than likely going to choose that themselves. That's the day in which we live. And Lord, they need to have some guidelines. They need to have some principles. They need to have some anchors that they are not willing at all to throw away, that they're willing to
to have that will hold them in the storm. And Lord, we ask you, Father, that you would work in their hearts, that they would focus on being spiritual as a single person. They would focus on having their walk with God and fellowshipping with God even long before there's a marriage, long before there's a mate, long before there's a spouse. There needs to be a personal spirituality, a personal structure in their life spiritually that's in their life as a habit, that's in their life to guide them and lead them and help them. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll speak to their hearts and help them. And Lord, may we as adults, may we that are married, Lord, may we work and do our very best to present to these young people a role model. Help us, Lord, to do that. And Lord, I pray that you would allow these young people to find the mate that you're wanting them to have, if that would be your will. And that, Lord, that there would be a spirituality through the whole process, that it wouldn't be emotional and fleshly and all of that stuff, but it would be geared around having their marriage settled on spiritual truth, built on Christ the rock. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us that are married to realize, God, that we are co-laborers, marriage and ministry and serving the Lord and going in the same direction and having some common goals. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us all with that. Lord, please, your will be done. Use the message this morning, or at least the part of it that you've helped us to deal with. And Lord, what you do for us, God, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray.